Welcome to SMT Pod, the premier audio publication of the Society for Music Theory.
This is the second episode in Alex Yonker and Peter Schubert's five-episode miniseries on idiomatic improvisation as a pedagogical technique in the music theory and oral skills classroom. In this episode, students improvise a melody over a longer ground-based progression, now in a standard common practice harmonic context, including some chromatic harmony.
Hi, I'm Alex Yonker. I'm back with my colleague and mentor, Peter Schubert. This is the second episode in our series on idiomatic improvisation. The idiom of the day is Baroque ground bass pieces.
So we're going to use a ground bass that actually was used pretty commonly in the 18th century. We're going to use an example by Handel, but it's the same progression that was used by Bach in the first half of the Goldberg Variations. Christoph Neidhofer and I use ground basses in tonal counterpoint class. Have you ever done that?
Yeah. When I was a graduate student at MSU, I took a keyboarding class with Mike Callahan, who is also a pioneer in using improvisation in both the undergraduate and the graduate curriculum. And one of the things that we did in this keyboard class was improvising over ground basses. Every week we would be given a new ground bass, and we were told how many times to repeat it over and over again. And every repetition we had to make up a new melody over top of it. And this was all played at the keyboard, so it's a little bit different than what we're doing with our students today, but same basic idea. It got progressively more advanced as the semester went on, of course, and Mike ended up teaching us diminution techniques and different ways that we could make it sound like real Baroque music, which was pretty cool. And as somebody that had never improvised before taking this class, and had very little keyboard experience, I can really sympathize with my students that I'm asking them to do these sorts of things now, because I found it absolutely terrifying. And I remember for the first several weeks, I would like painstakingly write out everything that I was going to play on the piano. Like, I just composed everything because I was so scared of making a mistake. And by the end of the semester, after like multiple weeks of practice, I could improvise more freely. So I think from like personal experience, I can say that these improv activities work, and it's all about like building creativity and fluency and kind of building confidence as part of it also.
Yeah, improvisation does that. It really helps you. You say, oh, wow, I did this.
Yeah.
I just came up with this. You know, what you said that was interesting was about diminutions. So did you start out with sort of note against note kind of things? And when we listen to our students that we're going to play the clips of now, do they do mostly note against note? I don't remember.
No, most of them are very florid melodies.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Let's hear some.
Yeah. Our improvisers for this activity are Hubert, Grant, and Emily. We'll start off with a clip of Hubert analyzing the Handel ground bass before we get started with improvisations.
My name is Hubert Paris. I'm a lyric voice major here at McGill, and I just finished my fourth year and final year of my undergraduate degree.
Alex is going to play you a ground bass piece by, I think, Handel, right? A ground bass piece is a piece where the bass repeats over and over again, but the right hand changes and it makes sort of variations.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to play you one and just listen to it. Maybe you can remember the bass line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, here it is. Okay, first of all, do you know what meter that's in?
3/4?
Yeah, good.
Yay!
Okay, good start. Can you sing back the bass line? Do you remember how the bass sounded? Okay, this is good. Why don't you just sing the downbeats of each of those? So instead of arpeggiating the chords, you can just sing the downbeats.
Yes. Right. Da, 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 da. I think.
Okay, let's try one more time. The first little bit was great. Did you get it that time?
Not the first notes, but I think I know. I think I understand the chords. But
okay.
I think there's a 5-5 there.
Ah.
And then going to 5 and then 1. I think that's how it finishes. But then the fourth one before that, I'm not sure.
Okay.
So that's interesting because you could learn about the line, and then infer the chords or sort of deduce them, or you could think about the chords. I would suggest that you listen to the bass notes. And forget about the chords just temporarily.
Right.
Okay, I'll play that much again. Lovely.
Oh, maybe you could sing it on the scale degrees, and then we'll play it on the piano.
Okay, yeah. We'll see that.
Once F, six, five, two, three, four, five, one.
Beautiful. Exactly right. Yeah. As you can hear, there are lots of challenges with this activity. One of the challenges is the texture. Hubert had a difficult time at first picking out just the bass line, and this was something a lot of our students experienced, figuring out what the actual bass notes were and being able to sing those back. One of the other challenges, and this is something all of our students struggled with, was the length of this bass line. Being 8 harmonies long was so taxing on their musical memory. None of them were able to do it the first time through. All of them took multiple listenings to figure out all 8 harmonies and how that bass line really sounded. One thing that we talked about with Hubert during his recording was the fact that he started humming along with the bass line as he was listening. And this was something that helped him pick out those bass notes more easily and also commit it to memory because he could feel in his body what that bass line sounded like. And I think this is something that I encourage my students to do. It's a bit more difficult in a large classroom setting if everybody's humming to themselves, but I often use the direction like hum quietly to yourself so that they're not too overpowering. Nobody's like full out singing or anything. But humming along helps them commit it to memory and figure out how bass lines go if they're struggling to hear it. For our students that were struggling to remember the whole 8 measures, especially when they improvised their own melody over it, it was so difficult for a lot of them to remember 8 measures of music that they made up on the spot.
Right.
So
oh boy.
For some of them, we asked them to just improvise over the first 4 measures instead. Seemed a little bit more of a manageable chunk for them. So here is Grant improvising over just the first 4 measures.
I'm Grant Kane. I am a cello performance major in 2nd year.
Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Okay, one more time. 2, 3. Too bad. That was gonna be good.
Yeah.
Can you do that one again?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Can you sing the scale degrees? Do you know what scale degrees you're singing?
3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 3.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah, really nice.
So usually we do this exercise in an upper-level musicianship class, and by then the students know something about tonicization, and so it's actually possible to ask them to tonicize another degree at the end of the first four bars. So this is what actually happens in the Handel and in the Bach, is we tonicize the dominant. In the next clip you hear, our student improviser, Emily, did it almost instantaneously.
My name is Emily Popolo. I am a rising U2 at McGill, but I'm from the United States, so this will be my third year, and then I have one more year after that. I'm a mezzo-soprano, but I'm in B-Muse history.
So a lot of the time in it, with this progression, the third harmony is a tonicization of the dominant. Yeah? So our bass line goes 1, 7, 6, 5. Mm. 5 being the dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get the tonicization of the dominant over scale degree 6 in the bass, you often see sharp 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of go in contrary motion to the dominant. Do you think you could try to make up a little melody just of the first four harmonies that ends with a tonicization of the dominant?
Okay.
So yeah.
That would be...
Very good.
Exactly.
All you need is to introduce
yeah.
that note
yes.
when I get to the third thing. Okay. Ready? Here, so conduct me in.
1, 2, 3.
Wow.
Beautiful.
That was so good.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Yay.
Okay. Great.
Wow, that was great. Okay. Let's hear Rubel's improvisation. This is over the same ground bass. I think, am I playing the bass?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to play down here. Right there.
Cool.
Okay? 1, 2, 3.
Oh, whoa, it went so far.
Keep going, keep going. 2, 3. One was awesome. Can you remember it?
No.
That was so interesting to hear you go through it. And like the first time, like two of the chords, you're like, okay, yeah. And then after that, you're like, oh no. And then like every time you
every
got
time it
more
got,
and more.
It got better and
yeah.
better.
More stable.
It was really good.
Yeah.
But you can't remember it.
Okay. Try again.
That's called true improvisation.
Oh no, it's not. You can do better than that.
Try again.
I can do better than that. Do solfège and improvise the solfège. Damn.
Yeah.
You're asking a lot of me.
I hope so.
Okay.
You did it. That last one was completely awesome, and I hope you can remember it.
Oof.
There's your tonic. Ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Da 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 da.
Again.
lovely.
That was very nice. And now we have some more entertainment for you.
Do we want to analyze that?
Yes, we want to know if you know what you sang. Like, could you name the scale degrees of what you sang? You can do it very slowly. Do you know what degree did you start on?
One,
correct. All right. So you just name the, just sing the tune and name the scale degrees.
One, six, five, six, seven. I think I changed something up in the second half at the beginning.
I thought it was in the first half. You know, I'm not sure I can remember it either.
Yeah.
It's too fancy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here, do it again. Do it again. See if we can put it back together.
Cool, cool.
Ready? Go.
One, six, five, six, seven.
Okay, let's do it one more time. Ready?
Yeah.
And sing the scale degrees at the same time.
Cool.
Ready, go.
One, six, five, six, seven.
Lovely. Great. I'm curious if you can figure out which of those are chord tones and which are non-chord tones. Like, are you singing anything that's not a chord tone at any point?
Yes. There's... I think that's one.
You want to hear it?
Yes.
Go ahead.
5, 6, 7, 1, 7, 6.
What interval is that?
Third minor.
Yeah, correct.
Huh. I mean, I don't have a chord, so.
But it's consonant.
Yeah, yeah,
case.
It does.
You know that.
It sounds itchy.
Okay, it sounds itchy. I don't
itchy?
Okay, so that gets us to the E in the bass,
yes.
And then what happens? What's that?
5 and 7.
But is that what you sang? Do it again.
Da da da, 5, 6, 7, 1, 7, 6, 7.
What interval is that?
Major third.
Good.
That was this. Minor sixth.
Whoa, what's that?
I love seconds.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a case where you got into your pattern and you sort of say, oh, I don't care about the bass. I'll just do my pattern again.
No, I just love seconds.
Yeah, okay, maybe you love seconds.
I do actually really love it when there's a lot of tensions in the harmony. I'm like,
sure.
Otherwise it's kind of boring. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was an artistic decision.
Okay, well, it was a very nice artistic decision. Okay.
As you heard, Hubert's improvisation included a pattern that resulted in a second above the bass, which, of course, is not idiomatic to the Baroque style. Peter led Hubert to realizing he was singing a second, which led to a conversation about tension in music. However, we didn't correct him or ask him to change his melody to be more idiomatic. This was Hubert's first time improvising in this style. As with all of our students improvising in a given style for the first time, we were more concerned with having him experiment and try things out. As students gain more experience with the idiom, or for students who catch on more quickly, we insist on sticking more closely to the style. In this example, we use Handel's HWV442 for our model, but there are other possibilities, of course. Pachelbel's Canon is one that your students are likely familiar with also. Dido's Lament is another ground bass you could use.
other possibilities from Handel, including the Passacaglia HWV 432, which you heard at the beginning of this episode. So other possibilities to use as models here.
How come we didn't do minor keys? Those are the most fun.
I know.
So you should definitely do one in a minor key. Dido's Lament is in a minor key. But that has a chromatic base. But that would be pretty challenging. That would be good.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about the ground bass thing is that the second chord and the third chord are not in root position. So this is already a big departure from the doo-wop song. And the fifth chord is also not in root position and so forth. And so it is important for the student to see this if they know harmony. Then they know to put above the C, maybe they should put an A or whatever. And so it's a way of bringing theory and musicianship together. I think that all these improvisation exercises are the perfect marriage of theory and oral skills for that reason.
Yeah, we do our activities, almost all of our activities in this series are done completely orally, but this one you could very easily give them the ground bass written out with some figures underneath it, turn it into a partimento exercise,
right,
so that they know what these chords are and really bring together that theory and oral skills.
Yeah, there's one other episode coming up where they see a melody and have to do something with it, and that's the Faubourdon exercise.
That's our next episode. So,
oh, how convenient.
Tune in for our next one, and you can hear about how we improvise Faubourdon harmonizations.
We want to extend our thanks to all of the students who improvised for us in the early stages of this project, including Maria Delaney, Rachel Hoddle, Ben Charo, Nick Miskey, Mia Moore, Lavinia Lee, Alice Renault, Emily Popolo, Jasper Ward, Hubert Paré, and Grant Kane. Not only did their performances help us develop our ideas, but we also had a lot of fun in the process. Thanks to Jack Kelly for his help with the recording setup, and thanks to the staff at the Marvin Duchaux Music Library at the Schulich School of Music for their assistance in acquiring the recording equipment. Thanks also to our colleagues Lisa Lorenzino, Isabel Cossette, and Justin Mariner for their feedback and sharing ideas on improvisation and pedagogy. To Nick Miskey, thanks for suggesting the title Idiomatic Improvisation. And finally, a big thanks to the production team at SMT Pod, who made the publication process smooth and made helpful suggestions throughout to make this work the best it could be. Our team lead, Caitlin Martinkus, our peer reviewers, Phil Duker and Joe Strauss, and our production leads, Amy Hatch and Katrina Rausch. Thanks.
Visit our website at smtpod.org for supplemental materials related to this episode and to learn how to submit your own episode proposal. You can join in on the conversation by tweeting us your comments and questions to @smt_pod. SMT Pod's theme music was written by Maria Tartaglia with closing music by Yika Zhang. Thanks for listening.